My Life in Christ, book from the end of the second book, page 336, about the eternal blessedness of these saints. We quote here the words of one of our most illustrious preachers, Alexander, the Bishop of Mogiaix. This is what he said about eternal blessedness of the saints. No matter who you may be, my reader, whether a young man or an elderly one, whether rich or poor, I entreat you not only to read what I am saying, but to give some serious thoughts to my words. I entreat you to do so in the name of the Savior, who will at some unknown time in the future call you before his divine judgment and announce to you your eternal destiny. Recognize that God in Christ is the only source of your happiness and put all your hope in him. Let us pray that the everlasting God, the source of peace for all the saints, may purify our earthbound hearts and fill them up with true earth, so that our love for him and our joy in him may contain our whole life. O Lord, let us be determined in our journey towards thee, so that thy promise of repose with thee may apply to us, and we may not lose it because of our unfaithfulness and indolence. Through Adam's fall, we not only upset our relationship with God and lost our close communion with him, but also lost all spiritual cognition of our Creator and all inner inclination to such happiness. O Lord, help me recognize that which I must announce to others. Reveal thy glory and show us our common inheritance. Reveal it to us, not as Balaam was shown the rich tents of Jacob and Israel, having yet no portion in them. No, rather reveal our inheritance to us as to the merchant of the parable, who after hearing about the precious pearl found no rest until he had bought it and made it his own, and as to thy holy first martyr Stephen, who contemplated the open heaven which he was soon to enter and the brilliant glory in which he was to participate. What is the essence of the saints' blessedness? The saints are completely free from all evil, are most closely united with God, the source of the highest good, and all their bodily and spiritual powers are harmoniously active in their union with God. First of all, heavenly repose completely excludes all evil. Heaven contains nothing impure or defiled, Revelation 21:27. All such things remain outside, while in heaven neither sorrow nor sickness is known. Secondly, in the heavenly kingdom, the saints are united with God, the source of the highest good. My reader, be not surprised at the confusion which I experience in trying to tell you about this union. It is inexpressible. A human being or angels could at all express a similar happiness. They would not be able to call it anything except union with God. What an inexpressible joy is open to the believer in the words of Jesus Christ. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold thy glory which thou hast given me. John 17, chapter 24th verse. Be firm, O Christians. The time is approaching when you will be as close to God as you may only wish. You will dwell with Him, and you will be an inheritor of His kingdom, and you will be together with Him, who is one with the Father, as He Himself has said in His prayer for you, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one, I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be able, that they may be made perfect in Me, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me, and hast loved them, as Thou hast loved Me. John 17, chapter, verses 21-23. Thirdly, the blessedness of the saints is distinguished by harmonious activity of all the human powers, both bodily and spiritual. All these powers are active in union with God. Our bodies will be so changed in the kingdom of God that they will no longer consist of this flesh and this blood, which do not inherit the kingdom of God. Instead, we shall have spiritual bodies. Some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? But God giveth a body as it has pleased Him. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 35-38 verses. No doubt, just as here God helps the development of our concepts and our ability to assimilate ideas, so there too He will help the good qualities of our reason grow and will direct all our powers. What a great happiness it is to be the glorified, to the glorified body, to be always present before the throne of God and the Lamb, and ceaselessly to repeat, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Revelation, 5th chapter, 12-13 verses. O Christian, you will then be filled with love. But no matter how much you may love God, His love will always be greater than yours. As the arms of the Son of God were spread out on the cross, so His heart will be open to all in the midst of the heavenly glory. He whose love is greater than yours will love you always. He loved you when you were still His enemy and a sinner. Will He not love you indefinitely when you will have become His son and perfect in holiness? He shed tears over Jerusalem not long before its destruction. How greatly will He rejoice in the glory of the new Jerusalem. O Christian, come to understand the great truth. You will always be in the embrace of the love without beginning or end. And the same Lord which brought the Son of God down from heaven to earth, from the earth to the cross, from the cross into the tomb, from the tomb into glory, the love which brought Him to suffer weariness, hunger, temptation, contempt, blows, slaps, spitting, crucifixion and wounds, the love that fasted, prayed, taught, healed, wept, shed its blood and died, this love will always be with you. And remember, O Christian, for your comfort, that when you will be united with God by your faith, neither sin nor the earth nor hell will remove you from Him. Christ will unite with you more closely than a brother. He in whom there is no change is superior to all your enemies. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, chapter 38, 39 verses. Your joy will not belong to you only. It will be shared as love too is shared. The heavens rejoices in your conversion. Will it not rejoice when you will be glorified? Will not the angels greet you and rejoice in your comings? Our happiness is the end of the ultimate goal of Christ's service, his suffering and his death. He will be glorified in his saints and beloved by all the faithful, and will be satisfied in beholding the fruits of his service to mankind. While you are waiting for that wonderful condition to come, be attentive in all your ways, unceasingly be watchful, commend yourself to the divine providence, and prepare for yourself in this life the token and the measure of future joy. Bishop Alexander of Moravs, in the A Beam of Light. The blessedness of the saints was first of all consists of their communion with God, and consequently in their direct cognition of him and contemplation of him. This is clearly expressed by the apostle when he says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I know even as also I am known." 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 12, verse. Hence it is natural that the saved soul will possess an inner feeling of their blessed condition, and that all their desires will be directed to God, the source of all that is good, and will find their satisfaction in him, a full satisfaction for the mind that ever thirsts and longs for the truth. The apostle says, "When that which is perfect is come, then that which is apart shall be done away." 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 10, verse. Consequently, faith will no longer be necessary, and we will be done away, for it will be replaced by direct cognition of God. Man's will, which always seeks the good, can be satisfied there, but the more the blessed spirit will contemplate and recognize God's perfection, the more they will be strengthened in their love for him, and burned with his love, which according to the apostle never faileth. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 8. They will continue perfecting themselves in becoming like him, as the Apostle John says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear that we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." 1 John 3, chapter 2, verse. Their hearts will be fully satisfied. Well, now our hearts can only wish for happiness and thirst for it. Then, however, satisfaction will be possible because of the contemplation of divine qualities, and as a result, our love for God will increase even more. Already in ancient times did David express this longing and the hope that it would find satisfaction. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Psalm 16:15. The Savior also prayed for this when he addressed God the Father, "As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Jude 17, chapter 21st, 23rd verses. This inner being, feeling of blessedness will increase because of the communion with the saints and with God's angels. Nothing will disturb their mutual love, and there will be no love for honors and gain, and no envy. Their spiritual ties will be the closest possible. Tertullian thus describes this condition. Our mutual ties will become closer, just as life itself will be better. After resurrection, we shall live in spiritual communion. When we shall be near God, we shall also be near one another. For in God, we all shall be as one. The Savior himself also points to this communion when he says, many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 8, chapter 11th verse. The Apostle Paul says, ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heavens. Hebrews 12, chapter 26, 2nd and 3rd verses. This elevated, blessed condition of the righteous spirits will correspond to their bodily condition. The place which they inhabit is called the new heaven and new earth, and will be totally unlike our present habitation, for there will be in that new place none of the evils which have frequently harmed our bodies. Quite to the contrary, the habitations of the righteous there will be as good as paradise was for the first men. They will be removed from all the needs of our present life. The Apostle John says, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Revelation. As the book of the Revelation describes it, the activity of the righteous will consist of contemplating of God and his infinite perfections, and standing before God's throne and bowing to him who sits on it, and serving God and fulfilling his will in endless praise to God and the singing of perpetual song to him. Alleluia.